prices, more precious than gold, the name of Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. Amen. It makes me feel like going on when I say the name of Jesus. Lord have mercy. You don't know. I've been blessed. The pastor said, high five one person if God has been good to you. I told Greg I had to kid him twice because the Lord has been very, very good to me. Amen. I don't want for anything that I need because the Lord is on my side. That's, I always say that I'd rather have the favor of the Lord than $1 million. Because if you got the favor of the Lord, you have $1 million in your pocket and you have more. God is good. Amen. Give the choir some praise for that. Amen. Thank you. I'm happy and excited and elated to be back in the pulpit of Hopewell. Amen. It's God's goodness and God's grace. I said on Facebook post that I did this week to tell people that I was going to speak from this place one more time in the Hopewell. And I said I had a surprise for you. And that surprise is, you notice I'm preaching from the pulpit. And that God has restoring my voice. Amen. He's restoring that. He's restoring my legs. He's doing that day by day. I don't care how long it takes. Every little bit he does for me. I praise him. I praise him. I praise him. Because I didn't have to be here today. I didn't have to be here today. But it's God that brought me from a mighty, 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 mighty long way. Amen. I want to get where I am. I want to get too excited about what God is doing for me. I'm not a quiet person, as Hopewell knows. But I really am saying that I've seen changes in my speech. Maybe others haven't. I've seen changes in my ability to move. Maybe others haven't. But me and God, just me and God, just me and God. And I always say this, hold on. Hold on just a little while longer. Everest, you know what I'm talking about. Thank God. I thank Pastor Larry Davidson Jr. for allowing me to grace his pulpit today and every fifth Sunday in the month. I also want to recognize some people that I see some faces in the audience that I haven't seen in a while. One or two of them are our own Pitts family, Annette and Deacon Roosevelt Pitts. He's out now, but they've been in Germany for about 3 weeks, 2 weeks. So we are accustomed to seeing their face. We're happy that God brought them back upon that trip. I believe they went over to see Tanya's Coy, that son, yeah, went over to see him, and also I think was going to be able to see Tanya's place of birth, amen, in Germany. She was born out of this world. So we thank God for her. Also on that Facebook post, I asked for two of my favorite people, the children of, the daughters of, one of my most favorite members over the years. God took her home several years ago. And we in Hopewell and me as pastor of Hope Well for 34 years, misses her dearly. I asked her two daughters to come, and they responded on the Facebook post that they would be here today, and they are here today, and I'm thanking God for them. But the oldest one is Regina Leslie. Will you please stand, Regina, so people can see you? That's Carrie Mae Leslie's daughters. And then their youngest daughter is young, and Pat is young, Patricia Strickland, and her daughter Kinsley. And that's still pretty sad, Pat, so they can see you and Kinsley. Amen. Amen. We love that family, and of course, you see Alan all the time here. He is always around the church. Is he here today? He sits in back normally, but we thank God for them, allowing them to be able to come one more time to the house of God, and especially to Hope Well, the home church. God is blessing us in spite of what you think. God has not left Hope Well or nor you alone, and has not left you yet. Now, I say yet because God can leave you. And more often than not, then we live God first. And when we do that, we're in trouble and we call on Him. I want to talk today. God has given me a thought to talk on. It's from Matthew 18, chapter 18 through the 20th verse. 18th chapter of Matthew, 18 through the 20th verse. It should come up on the screen and it's there now. So you can stand and read off this screen or in your Bible, the same thing I'm reading. 18th chapter, 18th verse. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If any two people shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. And the 20th verse, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. From that, especially the second or 19th verse, and the part that says agreeing on and touching on anything, God gave me the thought, the power of agreement. The power of agreement. The power of agreement. The disciples had been noticing that the relationship that Jesus had with his Father was vastly different than their own relationship with God, Yahweh. They did not understand that why when Jesus prayed that he got up and with a smile on the face and got up like something had happened and he felt comfortable around them while he was praying. But they wanted that same kind of feeling. There was an intimate relationship, an intimate fellowship that they saw that Jesus had with his Father when he prayed than they had. Now, let me stop here. Do you ever feel like your prayers are not being heard? You pray and you pray. Now, if you say no, then you're a lie and the truth ain't in you. I know that. Same thing. I've been there and done that. I've had times when I felt like I was praying for something and I did not get an answer, that I was praying futilely or in vain. And the disciples felt that way, that they weren't praying and they wouldn't get any taller, their words wasn't getting any higher than the roof of the building that they were praying in. So they asked Jesus, Jesus, will you tell us and teach us how to pray? They wanted to be able to pray just like them. And we must recognize, though, that we are tempted to treat that prayer that he taught them as a magic thing that we can say and we can get our prayers answered immediately. It doesn't work that way, people. Sometimes you just have to wait. Amen? You can pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven. We call it the Lord's Prayer. We can pray that, and sometimes we feel like we are not being heard anywhere by anybody. But we must recognize, as I mentioned many times from this pulpit, that it's not just a right technique. Some people say it's a right technique that we need to pray with. There's a certain way we need to phrase things. There's a certain posture we should be in when we pray to God. But he does not say that. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come. He did not say that you had to say it a certain way, from a certain position, from a certain viewpoint. We must not think, as people tell us, that if we say the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of Jabez, or enlarge my territory, we know all that. We need not think that if we say these things, that it's going to immediately happen to you and you are going to be fine. Some people teach that, say it and be done. No, it's to be said in God's will. And to wait on what God has for you. I know many of you have prayed for your children or prayed for your family members, and you don't see a change. Amen? You don't see nothing changing. And you pray for a day, you pray for a week, a month, a year, years after year. But finally, if you pray long enough, and you wait long enough, you don't hear me. You wait long enough. You can wait, and that's why Paul said, stand, and after all that, you stand some more. I can say, wait, and then after that, you wait some more, and God will answer your prayer. This morning, I want us to give consideration to the importance of what we commonly call corporate prayer. Pastor Davidson has placed a lot of emphasis on corporate prayer, but I'm not sure the members of Hopewell or any other church understand why it is so important that we come in agreement. Amen. That is corporate prayer. Amen. We get together. We don't pray by ourselves. I know some may say stupidly that I don't want everybody else to pray for me. I don't want them to know my business. No, that's not what he said. He said, come in agreement. Yes, sir. then you touch and agree on the same thing, then it will be done. You're not saying amen. Let me say this. In the army, and I wish Brother Pitts was here, on you, you ought to praise you, ugly face. That's my favorite deacon back there. What is it we say in response in the army to what we hear and we say back? You and I do it all the time. Whoa. Whoa. That means heard and understand, and we'll do. Now, if you don't say heard and understand whoa in doing this message, now let's go back over it again till you heard and understand it. Whoa. Amen. That's what I want to hear, some whoas. I'm understanding it. Corporate prayer is important. God calls us to pray together. Now, let's look at our text. I'm not going to be long. I'm not long preaching. You know that. But I can be long if you don't seem to be getting whoa. In the 18th verse, Jesus said to his disciples, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind, say bind, on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall be you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall what? Loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if you, two of you shall, what? This thing shall happen. You have the power to bind and to loose here on earth. And then he will bind and loose in heaven. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I think you are. Thank you for asking. Bind, first of all, means to fasten with chains, to tie or to prohibit. Now, notice that word, prohibit. You bind, saying you need to prohibit something from happening on earth. You need to prohibit from stopping and tearing up Obamacare by good touching and agreeing with your neighbor. Somebody say amen. You need to prohibit the Republican Party. I'm not being political, but I'm being instant in the moment. You know, I want to say that. You need to prohibit the Republican Party by what? By agreeing here together in corporate prayer, what pastor teaching us and teaching you. We need to prohibit them from tearing up our nation. You know, you must agree with that if you see anything. Now, let me pause for a commercial break here. The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. Turn to somebody and say, the Bible means what it says, and it says what it means. Now, some people who are saying that it doesn't mean that you have the power to bind on things on earth and they will be bound in heaven, or you don't have the power to loose things on earth and they will be loose in heaven. Duh. That's what the Bible says. I believe my Bible. Now, let me take you back to support this scripture. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our own what? Image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the over the cattle. And it doesn't stop there in the 26th verse of 1st Genesis. It doesn't stop there. It says, and over all the earth, Now, if you take all that and say, let us make man in our image after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over and all the earth. We have dominion over the earth. So I'm telling you, they've been saying, I have dominion over the earth. You have it. Say it like you got it. And say it like you mean it. In Luke 10:19, I support this thought with also. Jesus said, behold, I give you unto you power to tread on serpent and scorpion and over the, all the power of the enemy. A power over the enemy. Who is our enemy? Satan. Say it loud and say it loud. Our enemy is Satan, and he says in Luke 10:19 that we have power over the our enemy. He gives us power over Satan. You have power over Satan. Don't say, oh, the devil is still running me bad and mad and crazy. The devil is doing this. Oh, he's whipping my behind. He's tearing up my home. He's got my daughter in the street. He got my son on drugs. Don't be saying that. You have power over him. Jesus told the disciple to speak to Satan. And he'll what? He'll get flee. He'll scurry because you know you have power. Say, I have power. You recall this event in Genesis. That's recorded in the 11th and the 11th chapter, the 4th through the 7th verse. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city that man had built, which the children of men built it. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. Otherwise, they agree, and they can talk the same talk and walk the same walk. Oh, Lord. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. That's what Satan wants the church to do. To disagree, not agree. You and me. He wants us to disagree, not agree. Because once we agree, we are powerful. Agreement means of the same mind, of the same mind. It does not mean that we agree on every little dot and iota, but it means that we agree on the substance of the thing. We agree that Jesus is what? Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer. We agree on that. All the other little things are things we can touch and talk about. I'm teaching now. Understand it. But when we come together, we need to agree on something that's worthwhile doing. Again, agree in Greek is the word symphoneo, which means harmony, together. So to agree means to speak in harmony. This is Greek, where we get the Greek our word from, called symphony, which is harmony. We're in harmony. When we're in harmony, we're in agreement. And we can really get something done. This church is a real example of what agreement is. The building that we sit in today, stands as an example of what people can do when they come into agreement. We came into agreement many years ago that we would build a $1 million facility, not $300,000, not a $500,000, but a $1 million facility out here in no man's land in Newmarket. We said that in the church. We agreed on it. We touched and agreed on it. We prayed on it. And God allowed us to do it because we agreed. Many in the city said, we couldn't be doing that. We shouldn't think we can do raise enough money or get enough banks to stand behind us. We went to four different banks. I wish Pat Garner was here. We went to four different banks. Only one bank. Pat is here? Pat. Oh, there he is. I always want to amen so people won't know I'm lying. Well, think I'm lying. we went to four different banks, and only one of them said something negative. The other three said, that's a great plan. You got a great group of people out there. You got money in the bank. We had over $200,000 in the bank already. So the three churches, banks said, we'll support you. We'll give you the money. We'll loan you the money. And one of them said, no, we understand what you're doing, but we think you ought to cut it down to $750,000. Cut it down to a church that seats only 700, rather than 1,000. But I told them that God told us to build a church that would seat 1,000 people. He didn't tell us 750 people. So it's $1 million church. And this church is worth $1.5 million last time I heard anybody say. We built it for $1 million, $1.1 million. And God said, I'm blessing your agreement. We agreed on it. We agreed on it. When you agree on things, God will work in your favor. The people, some people say we wouldn't make it. They said we wouldn't be here today, Jimmy Strong. They said it wouldn't never amount to anything. Yes, the road got tough and the going got rough, but we stood in agreement and we are here today. Can I get a witness? Give God some praise. So with that, we need to say, let's pray together. Because we are in spiritual warfare. We face a common enemy, so we must not face him alone. No, we need to face him together. For he is powerless against our prayers when we come together. Let's pray together, because Jesus challenges us to agree together. To come in concert, come in corporate prayer. Let's pray together, because we don't come together for our sake, but for the kingdom's sake. Today is the day we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we bind on earth, he said, I'll bind it in heaven. If you loose it on earth, I'll loose it in my Father's kingdom. That's a song that our choir sing, it used to sing by Hezekiah Walker. I need you to survive. The words of the song are, I need you, you need me. We are all a part of God's body. Stand with me, agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with the words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. What a great anthem for a church to have. That I need you, you need me. Turn to somebody and say, I need you on both sides. Touch and agree. Say, I need you. I need you to agree with me, to concur with me, to achieve me with me harmony in opinion and in purpose. When we come in agreement, we have fulfilled the proclamation of the 20th verse. And then we enter finally into the expectation of the 19th verse. Expectation is like this. I want you to listen carefully. I'm coming to the end now. Expectation is like a power or electric plug. You know, electric plug that you plugged into a wall? It taps into a power source. So, without the plug, you can't get power to anything in your house. You can take the wire and run the wire around the thing and it won't work. But you get a plug on the end of it. It's something. Now, I need you to listen carefully to this. Normally, a plug has how many prongs? Two prongs. Normally, a plug has two prongs, or some have three prongs on it. Now, it is only if it only has one prong, that plug is good for nothing. Think about that. Where two or three are gathered in my name. Oh, Lord. I feel my help of them. Where two or three are gathered in my name. He didn't say one. He could say one. He said two or three. Oh, well. Really, God is saying, you're not in this alone. I want you to come together and play some soft music behind me like you were doing. I want the atmosphere set for this. When we are in agreement, we become a complete plug. We can tap into our power source, the spiritual realm, because we have come into agreement and have tapped into the power source that we have agreed to manifest itself. Jesus said, I will show up. And let me tell you, when he showed up, he showed up. Another thing I wanted to point out, if you want to transmit more power to that piece of equipment, you need more prongs. You need more prongs. Now, all those electric people, like I am, I have a degree in electrical engineering, my son, NASA. We know that a two-pronged plug cannot carry 220 volts. A two-pronged plug can only carry 110. Now, if you add one more prong, oh God, to two, you don't hear me. Add one more prong, that two prong plug. You can double the amount of voltage, of power that you have. The Bible says, anything that they shall ask shall be done. I tell you, when Moses said that 10 can put 10,000 to flee, but 22 can put 20,000 to flee. Now, what he says was, you double, no, I said it wrong. One can put 10,000 to flight. Two can put 20,000 to flight. Now, you double the amount of people and you double the amount of people and power that you have. What you need to understand is stop disagreeing with people. Stop focusing on the disagreement and focus on the agreement. Greg, when all of God's children get together, what a time. Because we have so much power. Power. I'm closing now. I dare you to grab someone, look at them in the eye, and with all sincerity, tell them, I need you to agree with me. I need you to do that. Please do that. See, you won't even do that. I need you to agree. I need you to agree with me. No, you don't have to tell them what it is. As long as it is according to God's will, it will be done. You hear me? I've practiced that all my life. That thing that you are asking for will begin to tap into the power source of heaven because you are in agreement and it has come to pass. You have wanted that unsaved companion saved. You need to agree among it with somebody. You wanted that new job. Need to agree, touch and agree with somebody on it. You wanted that son or daughter delivered from drugs, touch and agree on it. You wanted that daughter stop dating those dogs she brings home. Touch and agree on it. I'm talking carpet bag. It's powerful. You have been praying for your healing. Agree and touch them on it. Stop saying, I'm not going to tell nobody I got cancer. No, I tell people all the time, when I go to God, I like to go with the specifics of what I'm praying for. I tell you, when you ask me to pray for you, I ask you, what do you want me to pray for? I always just go, pray for them, keep them. No, I want to say, pray that they get healed of cancer. Pray that they get healed of diabetes. Pray that they get healed of such and such a thing. I want to say that. I want God to know, because he already knows it. He just asked. Said, ask. Ask and it shall be done. Jesus is God, and they cannot lie. Said that if two of you shall agree on earth at touching anything that Jesus shall ask, it shall be, not it might be, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That's the power of agreement that I've talked about. That's the power of agreement. Let's put our hands together and thank God for this promise. God bless you. I need you. Turn to somebody and say, I need you. I need you in order to survive. I need you. Shake hands with a person. Hug somebody. Say, I need you. I need you to agree with me. I need you to agree with me on something.